a kind of engineer's report of the terrain hazards and mandatory processes which exist in a new electronic environment.
Oh, good Lord, good Lord, good Lord, good Lord. Good Lord.
Hello, Fredericks.
All right.
Yes, you did.
How are you? How is everybody?
All right, it's your turn.
I'm going to be rolling in for a minute. I get a mass call.
I think I got a cigarette
burning. Did Mike?
There he is. There he is.
What's up?
You made it. All right, that's good. I had a spiritual moment this weekend. Did anybody else?
This weekend, no, I didn't.
No.
This is all I want to say. Screw you guys.
Hey, Mike, are you here to host your own damn show or what?
I was just going to say, you should probably change the name of this thing.
It's terrible.
All right. You want me to change it?
No, I'll do it
when I get my cigarette. Mike, take over.
I'm not seeing anything.
I'm leaving the fort.
So I couldn't see who it was. I thought it was some teenager. My eyes are bad.
You don't recognize who the person is?
I can't see. It's too
far. It's Obama.
Oh, it's Obama wearing an African. I see. I can't see. It's too. Now I'm not going to react to that.
All right. Amazing.
No. It's not really Mike. But if you want to think it is, that's okay.
A do-rag's inflammatory, but that's not.
Shall we not do this again?
Yeah.
Of your video and the participants in your video. A do-rag in itself is not inflammatory. I did it.
So we got the do-rag thing now. I guess Marshall McLuhan, got to talk about him.
Yep.
I thought Fredericks was all smoking a cigarette, so, I mean, you're not going to get a rise out of anybody here.
Oh.
Hey, I heard that!
I wasn't trying to get a rise out of him. I was just going through the motions of the...
Yeah, well, did you mention Nazis while I was gone?
No.
So we have like an agenda. We have to.
We just got reoccurring themes.
Obligatory reference to do-rags. Obligatory reference to.
Well, no, do-rags are making a comeback. They have not been a regular thing. They just made it. But racism does play a large, well, not a large, but a reoccurring role.
Well, I don't know. I guess you're not applying the Christian standard or the Old Testament
Lord.
Standard.
It depends on which.
Well, you didn't say that was wrong though.
All right.
Well, I just took the Lord's name in vain, so gosh.
Is that wrong?
Yeah.
This isn't supposed to turn into Sunday school. It's Tuesday night. But anyways, what about camping? Right, Mike?
That's a good flow to this conversation. What about camping, Fredericks?
I like it.
Fredericks likes to camp. Does anybody else?
Not particularly.
I don't think I've ever camped, really.
Yeah, I don't think I ever have either. If I
maybe like
since I was a kid
in
or...
the woods as a teenager or something like that.
Yeah, that
was just passing out.
Wake up laying in the leaves with ants crawling across your.
On occasion there may have been like I seem to remember one occasion.
Okay. I'm starting to get a feel here. Dougal, I know he likes camping, but his mic is off, so screw him. He's here. Can you see him?
Yes, yeah. No, I don't like camping.
Oh, Jesus.
No, it was a total nightmare.
Oh, okay. Well, that wasn't the best topic to choose, Mike.
No, I'm not done, Frederick. When did you... But your family was into camping, so...
Oh, yeah. We used to go down to the beach.
I wouldn't go
inside a house, wouldn't have a TV... You know?
I think camping, like alcoholism, runs in families. You know,
I think you're right, yeah.
You're either a camping family or you're a non-camping family.
There's a lot of drinking in camping, too.
There is, yeah.
I mean, I was shocked by some of the stuff I saw this weekend.
Friends of mine wanted to go camping up at the Delaware Water Gap. And, we brought lots of beer. Pretty much stayed at the picnic table the entire time drinking, you know, and occasionally smoking pot. Didn't leave the picnic table And that was camping. So, and I got a horrible sunburn. That was great. So, yeah. Then the next day we had to go hiking up this mountain to some... It was like hell. It was like living hell, hiking through this, you know, up this mountain to get to this dumb pond, sunfish pond they called it. And then I came back and started tearing off sheets of my skin from my thighs.
Oh.
It was coming off my thighs in sheets, literally.
Oh. Well, you know, Mike, I thought we had some potential for hanging out together and stuff, but it's looking like we're heading in opposite directions completely.
You can find some more dive bars for me down there.
Mike lost his internet connection.
Yeah, where's Mike's gone?
I'm back.
He's back.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's all right.
My internet service isn't the best.
People would go on. My brother would go on winter camping trips, which here, actually, it means it's like minus 30. And you go out and you build yourself what's called a quinzy, which is like building an igloo. You just pile up a big thing of snow and hollow it out and sleep in it. Didn't realize he'd frozen his big toe solid till they got in the car on the way home. Yeah, and it started to warm up and it started to get really painful. It was totally black, but he saved it. Sorry. But my brother managed to get trench foot and frostbite. And that was during the summer. During a summer canoe trip.
Frostbite in the summer. That's impressive.
Well, the last time I went camping in Connecticut, I got athlete's foot from those dirty hippies up there in the Northeast. Yeah, well, foot fungus, you'd think, would be under quite good control when it's that cold.
But it's the frostbite in the summer that I'm impressed with.
Yeah, well, another 3 or 4 hours north. Get dropped off in some lake. They lost all of their mosquito repellent.
Oh.
Like that. Floated away down a stream somewhere. And it's pretty brutal.
Yeah. If you need mosquito repellent, mosquitoes don't flourish in freezing temperatures.
No. Well,
their wings would break off when they flapped them.
That's right.
But they would,
you could hear the little tickling sounds of mosquito wings.
I heard Peter Bogdanovich, and he said there have been no great characters in color.
Oh, good Lord. That's a good flow to this conversation.
And he was talking about the medium of black and white.
Oh, good Lord. Good Lord. That's a dumbass thing to say.
I don't believe you, Frederick.
Malcolm McLuhan, Jack.
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord.
So Frederick can get his Marshall McLuhan fix.
That's right.
I told him earlier I came across Marshall McLuhan in a biography of William Burroughs out. Well, call me Burroughs. And there's a review in The Atlantic. And apparently, you know, post the Naked Lunch, you know, William Burroughs just wrote a bunch of junky books. The Soft Machine, The Ticket That Exploded, Nova Express. But Marshall McLuhan was a big fan of those books. He described William Burroughs, those books, as a kind of engineer's report of the terrain hazards and mandatory processes which exist in a new electronic environment.
Oh,
precisely. That's
this
so
is the type
accurate.
Of stuff that seems very Marshall McLuhan to you know pick these books that are purportedly terrible and give them this grand importance.
Cormod, just check into the Gutenberg galaxy and then think about the fact that books, the way we take in information, the rectangle, the linearity, the sameness of most of the type and stuff in most books, mm-hmm. It gives you a way of it. We're not in that anymore. Even temporality has broken down, you know? I mean, what used to be breaking news is no longer breaking news, because on Twitter, you know, it's coming when it comes. Breaking news used to be at the half hour at least.
Did you read the article, Fredericks, that was referenced in that Neal Stephenson clip?
No,
I... We're talking an article about has Google changed the way we think or something like that. It was an article in The Atlantic, and I read it this morning, and he talks about how
it's making us dumb.
It's rewiring the way. No, not making us dumb, but changing. Not necessarily more stupid. Something is lost. Something is gained.
Right. So the medium changes us.
Right. And one interesting thing.
Yes.
Book-wise, when you were talking about how you just said books are all the same.
Right, but actually,
I was saying the other day to Cormod, in fact, that reading books on a Kindle is an interesting experience because everything is in the same typeface. There is no design element in.
Oh, okay.
Whereas with a book, the book
has. Yeah, I said it didn't matter.
That's a loss. Yeah. And it doesn't,
I said it didn't matter.
It doesn't matter in terms of the content, but it is a loss of something. I mean, yeah. I used to work at a publishing company where actually more stress was placed on design almost than content.
Yeah.
They were beautiful books, and it was really important, and they do give you... Reading a really well-designed book, a book where there's enough white space when the type is chosen thoughtfully, it is a different experience from reading everything in Times New Roman.
But that's what you're saying. The medium is part of the message.
Yeah, exactly.
It may change your relationship to it.
It could indeed. I mean, you have no idea how you might respond. You might have an even more positive feeling about the book.
Well, and I was going to say that I noticed that if I buy something from iTunes, like an album, I can appreciate it and I can like it, but I will not fall in love with it. I mean, like the difference between an iTunes version of a song and a CD version, at least to my ear and probably to, you know, deeper parts of me, is expressly clear.
I don't understand. What is the difference between an iTunes version and the version on, say, a CD? So do you think vinyl sounds better than CDs?
In a lot of cases, it's hard to tell.
What do you think of the people who prefer tapes to vinyl and...
Tapes?
Yeah.
I think those people are sick. Like that.
Yeah, right. Those people are nuts.
It's what most would consider a poor sound with no low end and, you know...
It depends on the tape. You know, they had, you know, high-level tapes, CR, what is it, CR, what were those, chromium tapes?
Chromium tapes, yeah.
Yeah, Maxell and TDK, you know, they had different level tapes. It sounds pretty great, you know, it's not a great loss there. Not as much as, say, reducing it to an MP3.
No. Just MP3, yeah.
No. Oh, no, and I will take Hiss over the sound reduction any day of the week. And you're taking away some of the vibrations. And I also think that sound is experienced on more than just, you know, through our ears. It's vibrations.
So, Fredericks, you're buying a Pono then?
I'm not wealthy enough, Dougald.
But I got the only 3D movie I saw, though, of the modern era was the Herzog one.
It's a good flow to this conversation.
The cave one.
The cave, yeah, but the when I saw that, the trailers were just, like, for Tintin or whatever was, like, coming out. So I got to see, like, you know, like, kind of like a, what was the movie? Avatar would have looked like or something like that. I didn't see Avatar, though.
Yeah, I think the 3D stuff is junk. I
huh?
Herzog. Yeah, but I guess... Well, I haven't seen the Herzog movie, but I did see Avatar.
It's not really catching on. It didn't catch on at all.
Yeah. What did Mike think of the Cave of Forgotten Dreams?
I thought it was all right.
Did you see it in 3D?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say that's the best 3D movie. I thought the best 3D movie I saw was Gravity. That kind of made sense to have it in 3D, and I thought it was well done. It wasn't... You know, just doing it for effects and all of that.
Right, it added to the movie.
Yeah, it was kind of like you're in space, so yeah, it was kind of interesting to see how things are moving around. And I don't go to that many. I mean, I think they did
Avatar.
Yeah, Avatar had some silliness.
You mean like a snake jumps out of and tries to hit you in the face or something?
Not like
no.
That. Oh. Stuff is like flying in your face instead of times, you know.
Was it?
Well,
yeah.
No, it was awful.
Yeah.
I don't like the fact that they charge you for the glasses.
Yeah.
And then you have to get rid of them. and keep buying them every time you go? Why can't you just buy them once and then not have to pay for it every time? But they're not going to, you know, you can't produce those glasses at the, you know, at the emission.
Oh, is each one different for each movie?
No, the glasses are the same, but I'm saying you can't go into a 3D movie and say, oh, I have the glasses already, so just charge me $8.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you can't say no, thank you. I got my own.
All the 3D movies cost more.
Mm-hmm. See, I thought Avatar was going to be like the biggest. I thought it was going to be like, oh, finally, I'm going to get to see what people who talk about like something like Heaven's Gate or Ishtar. Like, I'm going to get to see, like, what a major box office bomb looks like. And when that hit, the studios retrofitted a bunch of movies that weren't made for 3D into 3D. And that just seemed like, just, you know, I think one might have been the Tim Burton Alice in Wonderland.
Ah, that's like colorizing movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never been a great character in color.
Yeah,
I think that why would they want a colorized movie? There's not any, there's no appeal to them, according to Bogdanovich.
I think they, the 3D thing, it seems like a gimmick that should go away, that should have gone away by now, but it seems like theaters are so desperate.
It's a gimmick. It's just a gimmick of desperation.
Yeah.
And that's why 3D happened in the first place. It was to combat the initial rise of television. Like,
They're still making money.
Oh yeah, I know that.
Make as many as they had a few years ago. You know, I think that.
No,
they definitely still make money. Yeah.
They've been going up. They're not going down. Yeah, they've been making money every year for the last several years. I mean, they're not losing money.
But they probably think that they could make more.
Well, I mean, they always think they can make
more. Right. But, you know, if they can compete more with the other demands on our attention.
Oh, wait, Mike, you mean movies in general make more money or 3D movies?
The movie industry has been, you know, rising. It's not sinking. They're making more money every year for, you know, for years.
Yeah. But there's so many, like... They seem to be making so much money because they make so many movies based on licensed, you know, big name licensed things like Transformers or
Marvel and DC.
Yeah.
Right, based on. But are they actually making money as a proportion? I mean, is it real profit?
Well, they're not because paying anybody to write anything.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm not questioning. I just don't know.
I blame the fact that Americans have poor taste. They don't know what to do with themselves on the weekend, so they'll go to any dumb movie, you know, which looks like the stupidest thing I've ever seen. It looks like a commercial for We're Getting Dumb.
How do you feel?
Like people are getting dumb. Dumb comic book movie. The dummy.
How do you feel about it?
Like we're getting dumb. People are getting dumb. The dummy. You know, there used to be like a segment of the movie going population that could handle adult subjects. Just look at all those great movies made in the early 70s, you know?
In the 70s? There were none of those movies being made today. None.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's you know, you know, because the audience, they're not adults anymore. It's just either dumb adults or, you know, kids.
It's not that the audience is dumb. It's just that Hollywood is so profit-driven. And
well, it's a combination.
It's
a combination.
It's chicken and egg. Yeah.
If people stopped going to these dumb movies, you know, yeah, they wouldn't keep doing it. That's what, I mean, people have the control. If they stopped going, you know, then maybe we'd see some change. But as long as they keep going, we're not going to change.
Right. Well, that's like, you know, you could say the same thing about McDonald's.
Right. You can say it about many, many things.
And half the budgets for a lot of these movies is for marketing, you know?
Right. You know, and because it's become totally a profit-making, the art is out of it completely.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're squeezing it out and damn near completely. And they're not taking any risks.
Yeah. Taking like toy franchises from the 80s and spinning them into like.
Well, when I see the Fantastic Four, it's like, God, I wish I was 11 years old. This would be great, but I'm 53. Yeah. I don't think I'm going to have time for this, you know?
Right. I think
it must be 53 year old.
Everybody's
like
It just got beautifully chaotic.
Yeah, we got to do that once in a while.
Fredericks, what's the difference between a Trotskyite and a Leninist?
Oh, man, it's huge.
Oh, here we go.
Wait, I was just going to say, I thought I'm not the Lego movie and Captain America were both insanely subversive.
Much more Trotskyite than Leninist?
I would say probably.
The Lego movie was, I couldn't believe the political subtext blew me away. It worked in about 10 different levels, and my kids loved it too.
It sent right? Fox News right into a tizzy, boy.
Yeah.
It was all right. Okay. We can talk about that next
all week. Right, well, we're done with that topic.
Right, it was all right.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, you'll be
bailing out.
Good night.
See you later, gang.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, have a good night, guys.
You too.